Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Cameroon, where a Confederation of African Football inspection team is examining the country's preparations to host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. The government is building stadiums, hospitals, transportation systems, and communication facilities, but there are concerns the country may not be ready on time. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Hydraulic concrete crackers and caterpillars rumble as construction firms struggle to put up a new stadium that will host the opening and closing matches of the 2019 AFCON in Olembe on the outskirts of Cameroon's political capital, Yaoundé. Mark Deban, an Italian-born construction engineer supervising the works, says they will meet the deadline agreed with the government of Cameroon.
We are well advanced in the construction of the foundations and of the stadium and of the tribune. The foundation slab is well progressing. And last week, we were very happy to receive in a good state without any major problems, concrete elements coming from Italy. So 231 containers have been received and the first columns are already in place.
It is this site that the 9-man CAF inspection team and the Roland Berger auditing firm visited on day one of their outing to Cameroon, in line with the preparations for the 2019 Total Africa Cup of Nations. They refused to comment on what they found out, but said they were in Cameroon to inspect and give suggestions that can enable the country successfully host the continental soccer event. Nasseri Paul Beya, governor of Cameroon's Central Region, that will host one of the poles of the competition, joined the CAF inspection mission in the tour. He says he had given them some recommendations.
We have requested the enterprise to double their efforts to recruit more workers so that the work can be delivered on time. We have a hotel which has to be built here. We have two other training grounds which are around. And so we are asking them to double their efforts so that all of this shall be done.
The CAF inspection team intends to ensure that the deadline will be respected before the start of the competition. Cameroon's Minister of Sports, Bidunkpat, says he is very sure the deadlines will be respected and his country will be ready by December this year.
Delivery of the various facilities is expected by December 2018 latest. I want to stress that the various stakeholders are working in serenity. Relentlessly, the President of the Republic is committed to giving his personal impetus to the preparations of the Cameroon 2019 Total AFCON towards a successful organization of this prestigious event. The entire government is working hard for the various partner ministries and structures to bring practical solutions to the demands contained in CAF list of requirements.
Last July 2017, CAF announced that starting in 2019, the number of participating countries in Africa's biggest soccer event, the Africa Cup of Nations AFCON, will increase to 24 from 16 teams. The expansion presented Cameroon, 2019 hosts, with a major logistics problem as their bid to host was based on a 16-team tournament. This provoked widespread doubt over Cameroon's ability to host, but Cameroon said they had the experience when they successfully hosted the female AFCON in 2016. It said the competition, usually hosted in January and February, had been moved to June and July, giving them additional time to prepare hotels, stadia, communication and transport facilities in Limbe, Douala, Yaoundé, Bafoussam and Garoua, towns that will host the events. Yaoundé, the capital, will have two poles. The visiting CAF delegation may only make statements at the end of their tour of the towns on January 23. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Moki Edwin Kinzika in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. Now let's go to Casablanca, Morocco, where it's the fifth day of action at the African Nations Championship football tournament for locally based players. Morocco is hosting Guinea, and that will be followed by a match between Sudan and Mauritania. The Moroccans mauled Mauritania 4-0 in their opener, while Sudan defeated Guinea 2-1. In results Tuesday, Angola and Burkina Faso played to a scoreless draw, while Congo-Brazzaville beat Cameroon 1-0 on a 73rd-minute penalty shot by Junior Mekesse. Joining us now in the studio is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America's Swahili service. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Thank you, Sonny. You know, it's always, always a pleasure to be in the sunny side of sports.
I was trying to remember it. It's been a few years since we talked
hoops.
It's
been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. We need to make it regular, man. Especially with the NBA season on.
The NBA season is definitely on, and we'll talk about that, Mwamoyo. But first, the Sunny Side of Sports remembers Hall of Fame basketball player JoJo White, a two-time NBA champion with the Boston Celtics, who died of brain cancer at age 71. Now, growing up, Mwamoyo, I remember watching those Celtics in the early 70s and seeing JoJo White do those stop-and-pop jumpers for the Celtics. Just a fun player to watch. What are your memories of JoJo?
As you said, Sonny, it's a sad day for the game today. But by the time I came to the U.S., he had stopped playing because he stopped playing in the 80-81 season. But if you are a basketball connoisseur, just as I'm trying to be, you must have heard of JoJo White. He was one of the smaller guards at 6'3".
That's right.
But as you said, he had the sweetest stop and pop jumpers. I mean, he would just be coming down the lane, and as the defender is, you know, going back, and he just stops and shoots a jumper. And he was so beautiful. He played 13 seasons in the NBA, 10 with the Boston Celtics, two with Golden State Warriors, and one with Sacramento Kings. Now imagine him in the current Golden State Warriors.
What a team that would be with Steph Curry. Well, let's rest in peace, JoJo White. Let's stick with the Celtics, Mwamoyo. One of the best teams in the NBA this season. Let's take a quick look at last night's games. The Celtics lost in overtime to the New Orleans Pelicans, 116-113. Anthony Davis, game-high 45 points for the Pelicans. We'll talk about Davis, but first the Celtics, Mwamoyo. I'm a little surprised the way they've played this season in terms of victories after losing their all-star forward, Gordon Hayward, to an injury, terrible injury, right in the opening game of the season.
Exactly.
Your thoughts on the Celtics?
Actually, I was surprised also at the beginning. And then I remembered Kyrie Irving.
That's right.
Because most of all, I think the Kyrie has this very special drive and confidence and grit that he brings to the game. The spirit, the kind of spirit that you would have seen in Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, the way they impose their will on the game. And now, after a few games out of the gates, I think the Boston Celtics team, the whole team, is drinking what Kyrie Irving is drinking. He's drinking, they're all drinking it because they bring it to the game. And, you know, at the beginning, we were all talking about Cavaliers going back to the finals. You know, well, we'll talk about that later. But now we are not really sure about that, whether, you know, Cavaliers will get out of the Eastern Conference.
That's right. I think the Celtics could definitely give them a great series in the playoffs. Well, let's talk about Anthony Davis for the Pelicans. He's kind of part of this new special breed in the NBA of very athletic big men who can handle the ball, shoot from like three-point territory. I'm thinking of Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid for the 76ers, a fun young player from Cameroon. He's having a great season.
Only 23 years old.
And let's not forget Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's doing things with the basketball that I haven't seen in I don't know that I've ever seen some of the things he's doing. But your thoughts on these really big athletic men in the NBA.
And I will throw in there Kristaps Porzingis.
Porzingis, that's
out
right.
Out of Latvia, playing for the New York Knicks. 7'3", big guy. And all this, you could say that this is the year of the bigs. I mean, we've always had big players in the NBA. But they were mostly, you know, players who would shoot jumpers, you know, score from inside, short jumpers, and blocking shots. But these bigs, Joel Embiid, Antonio Davis, Giannis, Kristaps, I mean, these guys, they have movement. They can move. They can shoot from outside. They can shoot from inside. They block shots. And their presence is helping their teams a lot because it opens and creates space for their long jumpers, long shooters, the threes. You see, in all their games, they bring in the defenders and then they throw the ball out. And they get threes out of that.
Joel Embiid, his first two seasons in the NBA, Momoyo, basically were washouts. He was hurt. He was having foot injuries, and so he didn't play at all for the 76ers. This season, though, when I watch highlights of Embiid, sometimes it's like looking at Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, the way he can cut and move underneath the basket.
And he's playing extremely well. I was reading an article a few days ago in one of the online magazines, and the writer was saying, we love Joel Embiid now, but very soon we're going to hate him. Simply because he is likely to be very successful in the league. And you know how it is in the league. If you're a good player, you start winning, and then people like you, and then people start hating you because you win so much. Or you know, that's where my friend Steph Curry is right now.
Right,
I mean,
right.
2 or 3 years ago, we all celebrated him and we all loved him. Now we're like, oh, why? You know, he's dominating the game. It happened to LeBron James. It happened to Kobe Bryant. It happened to Michael Jordan. But Joel Embiid is positioning himself with healthy. As long as he's healthy, he's going to be a very, very successful and very effective player in the NBA.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, born in Greece. They call him the Greek freak, but our many listeners in Nigeria, Mamoyo, will tell me, Sonny, don't forget, his parents are Nigerian. So he's I think they're going to call him Nigerian there in Lagos and Abuja.
They are. Every African is calling him African.
What do you think of him?
Big player, imposing, dominating player. He has one of the most thunderous, fast and furious dunk in the game. When he comes down the lane, his hands, you know, extended all the way up there, and he's above everybody. And you know the dunk that's coming.
What a leaper.
He's heavy, it will make noise, and it's so exciting to watch him play.
Exciting indeed. The Golden State Warriors, very exciting team. The defending NBA champions, Momoyo, have a league-best 36 wins going into Wednesday night's road game against the Chicago Bulls. The Celtics are next with 34 wins. Earlier this week, Momoyo, the Warriors beat the Cavaliers in Cleveland 118-108 in a rematch of the 2017 NBA Finals. Do you think we're going to see the Warriors and the Cavs for a fourth consecutive year in the NBA Finals?
I would say maybe, because in the beginning, at the start of the league, we all thought that was the case. Our Golden State Warriors, they're exactly where they are right now. KD has been out for a few weeks, you know, injuries. Steph Curry, same thing. But they all come back, and they've been playing extremely well, as everybody expected. Cavaliers, they're still struggling. Now, there's still plenty of time. And with Isaiah Thomas back, they have that potential of being a very potent, you know, team, because they have all the pieces in place. But as we said at the top of the show, Boston Celtics with Kyrie Irving could ruin all this.
That's right.
That's quite possible. So I don't think it's a shoo-in that Cavaliers will go into the finals out of the Eastern Conference. Boston Celtics might do it.
Thanks, Mwamoyo. That's Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the Voice of America Swahili service. We'll talk more hoops, Mwamoyo.
Let's do that, Sonny.
Thanks, Mwamoyo. Joining us once again is our new sports social media reporter, Brianna Muir. Sporty greetings, Brianna.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Today, what's trending in sports news? Carrie Underwood and Ludacris team up for the Super Bowl song. Country star Carrie Underwood has joined rap sensation Ludacris to co-write a new song for the Super Bowl. The new song titled The Champion will open the NFL's main event on February 4th, airing on NBC. The song will also be incorporated in the network's coverage of the 2018 Winter Olympics. In a statement about the song, Underwood said, "Our main focus was to celebrate athletes at the top of their game, but we also wanted the song to resonate with people in their everyday lives." Ludacris took to Instagram to join Underwood's celebration of their collaboration. In a post, Ludacris wrote, "Very blessed to be an artist that can do features on different genres of music and bring something unique to the game each time. Thank you for the opportunity at Carrie Underwood."
Be the last one standing, two hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like Ali. Yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm stronger. Bet my dues can't lose, I'm my own, yeah. Hey, I've been working my whole life, and now it's too.
Possessed through the drama. H is for the hurt, but it's all for the honor. A is for my attitude, working through the patience. Money comes and goes, so the M is for motivation. Gotta stay consistent, the P is to persevere. The I is for integrity, innovative career. The O is optimistic, open and never shut. And the N is necessary, cause I'm never giving up. See, they ask me how I did it, I just did it from the heart. Crushing the competition, been doing it from the start. They say that every champion is all about his principles. Carry.
Unbreakable, unstoppable, unshakable. They knock me down, I get up again. I am the champion. You're gonna know my name. You can't hurt me now. I
about who wants it the most.
That's Carrie Underwood and Ludacris with their new musical collaboration, The Champion, which will be featured at next month's Super Bowl and Winter Olympics. And thanks to Brianna Muir for that sports social media report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, top-seeded Rafael Nadal of Spain is through to the third round at the Australian Open in Melbourne. Rafa scored a straight sets victory Wednesday over Argentina's Leonardo Mayer. The final score from Melbourne, 6-3, 6-4, and 7-6. Up next for Rafa will be Damir Djemur, a 25-year-old player from Bosnia and Herzegovina. Djemur defeated local favorite John Millman of Australia on Wednesday in four sets. The Bulgarian Grigor Dimitrov, who is seeded third among the men in Melbourne, survived an early scare against American Mackenzie McDonald, and Dimitrov advanced to the third round with a five-set victory. Another local favorite in Australia, Nick Kyrgios, advanced to the third round with a straight sets victory over Serbia's Viktor Troicki. The final score from Melbourne in that match, 7-5, 6-4, and 7-6. Kyrgios is seeded 17th among the men. He's been hailed as one of the up-and-coming young stars in tennis. So we'll have to see whether Kyrgios can make that Grand Slam breakthrough on his home courts, down under in Melbourne. The top-seeded woman in action on Wednesday was Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark. The second-seeded Wozniacki beat Jana Fett of Croatia in straight sets. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic stretching to make a return. The photo was taken by Reuters photographer Isai Kato. Djokovic made a resounding return to tennis on Tuesday in Melbourne when he beat American Donald Young in straight sets 6-1, 6-2, and 6-4. The 30-year-old Djokovic hadn't played a match in 6 months because of an elbow injury. I was reading a report from Melbourne. Djokovic spent quite a bit of time before that victory over Donald Young doing stretching exercises for his elbow under the watchful guise of former American tennis star Andre Agassi, who is with Djokovic in Melbourne, tutoring him, I guess, giving him a few tips. Although Djokovic, of course, has won more Grand Slam titles than Andre. But, you know, having Agassi as a coach, probably a pretty good thing. And that wraps up the January 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Journalism remains a dangerous profession in too many places around the world.
On October 16th, Daphne Caruana Galizia, a journalist reporting on corruption in Malta as part of the Panama Papers investigation, was killed by a car bomb. In September, attackers set fire to the car of Yulia Latinina, a columnist for Novaya Gazeta and host of a weekly radio show in Russia. Protecting journalists and media practitioners against violence from those who may want to censor them is a core tenet of freedom of expression, said Shannon McGuire, a media advisor with USAID's Bureau for Europe and Eurasia, promoting independent media development. Since 1992, more than 800 journalists have been murdered around the world, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists, or CPJ. Of those cases, 86% were killed with impunity, meaning no one has been held responsible. In Russia, which ranks in the top 10 of CPJ's list, the attack on Latinina was just the latest in a series of assaults and threats against Russian journalists and opposition figures that have not resulted in formal charges. In Ukraine, the murder of prominent investigative journalist Pavel Sheremet also remains unsolved more than a year later. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, has prioritized support to independent media in Europe and Eurasia since beginning work there in 1992. Its programs focus both on the supply and demand sides of news and information, as well as advocating for greater press freedom. One such program is the Regional Investigative Journalism Network, which helps shield reporters from attack by making it more difficult for criminals to pinpoint those who have exposed their wrongdoings. In Ukraine, USAID's U-Media project has collaborated with more than 500 independent media outlets to ensure that professional journalists operate safely and protect their data in conflict areas in eastern Ukraine and Crimea while they report on the fighting and Russian occupation. Donors, policymakers, advocacy organizations, and civil society organizations must continue to exert pressure on those involved in censorship to ensure the continuation of open, public debate and the free flow of information. Journalists are not soldiers, and their cameras and pens are not weapons, said Ms. McGuire. They shouldn't need to fear the phrase, "Don't kill the messenger."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.